We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Rep. Edwards, your signature issue these days is opposing tolls on the Sakonnet River Bridge. The head of the State Turnpike and Bridge Authority, David Darlington, says that your proposal for an alternative means of funding bridge maintenance amounts to taking from Peter to pay Paul. How do you respond?
Well, it actually takes from other areas where we're probably spending excessively and puts it in an area that needs to be addressed immediately. Our infrastructure is in very poor shape. The director of DOT says if we do not do something right now, all of our roads and bridges are going to be in disrepair. We need to address our infrastructure, and we need to address it today, not 10 years from now. We can no longer wait. And the continuing actions from the General Assembly and our gubernatorial candidates has always been, let's put a Band-Aid on it. Let's throw a few million dollars here, $20 million there. We need to take the issue seriously. We need to put some serious money behind it, and we need to do it now.
As the budget came in for a bumpy landing last year, initially the plan was for no tolls on the Sakonnet River Bridge. You were very happy about that. And then things took an abrupt turn and this 10-cent placeholder toll was put in place. You're part of the House leadership, but did you feel sold out or betrayed by other elements of the House leadership, including Speaker Fox?
No, I've actually been asked this question a lot. There was never any quid pro quo. I was actually very surprised when the Speaker told me that they had come up with a solution for it, and I was very pleased. I was displeased with the rider, but in the long term, it actually worked out well. They got a 10-cent toll, which didn't affect anyone in Newport County, really. And it gave us more time to come up with a plan, which we have been working on, myself, Senator Palman, and Odiano. We came up with a really viable plan that actually started a good discussion on fixing our infrastructure.
Let's go to Scott.
The Newport Bridge has had tolls for years. It doesn't seem to hurt the economy. Newport is a tourist mecca, as we all know, and you can barely find a place to park there in the summer.
The Pell Bridge is one of our more majestic structures in this state. The Sakonnet River Bridge is almost like an overpass. I think it's like 1/6 the entire length of the Pell Bridge. And to charge almost the same amount of money for going over what would be an overpass versus a beautiful structure where you can see Block Island and a big part of our state, it's just wrong. To toll the working class people who are going back and forth over the Sakonnet River Bridge every single day is not fair or right.
How about if we set up a two-tier system like the Newport Bridge has, where if you use it every day, you buy a toll or a pass, or you have an easy pass, and the tourists foot more of the bill with a larger toll?
Why should we restrict our tourism coming in over the Sakonnet River Bridge, where the DOT says a third of the people who come across that bridge are coming from out of state? Why should we unfairly whack them? If you live in Boston and you want to come down to Newport and have dinner and you have to pay $8, give or take, in tolls going to and from Newport, you're going to not go to Newport. You're going to go to the Cape, or you're going to go to Dartmouth or Westport.
What's your explanation for why Rhode Island's roads and bridges are in such rough shape and why the state's public officials have allowed the situation to get this bad?
I think because the General Assembly and the administrations have neglected them over the course of years, and I think because they are really out of sight, out of mind, until they become a crisis. The Sakonnet River Bridge became a crisis.
You know, the biggest issue in Rhode Island these days is the economy. It's been that way for quite some time. We've had a weak recovery from the recession. There's all sorts of discussion at the State House about taxes, what we ought to do. What's your ideas using tax policy to make for a better economy? What would you do if you were a philosopher king?
Well, if I were a philosopher king, first I would fund our transportation program with $1 billion from our own money, and it would actually add some 1,300 new jobs every year over 10 years. That's a good start, because construction jobs are vital to our economy, and construction is also the canary in the coal mine, because however construction goes, the rest of the state will generally follow. I would look at decreasing our property tax and also working on our estate taxes and also on our income taxes.
Jay, you're a member of the House Small Business Committee and a Joint Committee on Economic Development. Rhode Island went into the recession in 2007, and it seems just in the last 2 years or so, we've heard more talk from the legislature about the economy and jobs. How do you respond to critics who say the General Assembly hasn't focused enough attention on economic development and making Rhode Island a more business-friendly state?
I think they're both right and wrong. I think, first, we have done more in the last couple of years to right our economy. That's where they're wrong. I believe they're right, and we haven't gone far enough. we need to make some serious policy decisions. We need to also take a hard look and take some very hard votes on issues. We did it for pension reform. We did it for the school funding formula. I think now we need to do it for our transportation, and we also need to do it for jobs.
Beyond transportation, what are some of those major policy changes that you would advocate to improve the economy?
Well, I would obviously advocate for the transportation issues. I think that will really help us out. And I think we need to be innovative, and I think we need to have an open discussion with all of our representatives and senators about what their ideas are to fix this issue and to bring more jobs in, because it's not going to be one person's idea. It's going to be an amalgamation of several ideas that are going to actually come to play.
The gambling revenue that goes into our state is more, as you know, $300 million a year. Our neighbors in Massachusetts have already approved a slot machine parlor in Plain Ridge, just up the road from the Twin River Casino, slot machine emporium, whatever you want to call it. And then there's a discussion about Fall River having a destination casino. What does Rhode Island do to try to protect this revenue stream?
I think we need to wean ourselves off of it, actually. It's our third largest source of income. I think we need to start looking for other sources, because they're going to put a casino right on the border of Rhode Island in
yes.
Fall River. Foxwoods is very, very good at it. They've already have an established facility in Connecticut, so this is not something new for them. And they're going to draw all the people who would have normally gone to Newport Highline or to Twin Rivers. They're going to draw them to those destinations. We need to seriously look at other forms of revenue.
House Majority Leader Nick Mattiello has made it clear that he one day hopes to succeed Gordon Fox as House Speaker. Have you pledged your support to Nick Mattiello in that regard?
I don't believe the Speaker's leaving, and I will make that assessment when the time comes. But I believe Nick has done a great job. I think he's really grown into the position, and I support him fully as the Majority Leader.
What do you think of the pension settlement?
I don't really think it's something that we settled this 2 years ago. Every member who voted for it or against it thought it was settled. And I really don't think it's fair now for it to come back before us.
But what if the union and the retirees and the members support it? Don't you think that the legislature and you folks, you lawmakers, have to have some profiles and courage and actually take this up and vote on it up or down?
Oh, I thought we were real profile and courage the last time, Scott. And here it is back to us again. How many more times are we going to deal with pension reform? I've dealt with it three times already as a member of the General Assembly. We had little Band-Aid approaches, and then we finally, under the Treasurer, we took a all-comprehensive approach to it. How many more times are we going to have to deal with this issue?
Well, this deal does preserve 94-95% of what you guys did as far as saving money for the taxpayer.
It does, but we still have to have it heard again if it comes back before us.
You were part of the House when it voted on the job development program that was used to lure 38 studios to Rhode Island. Are you concerned that that will be a harmful thing for some of your colleagues when they're seeking re-election this year?
The 38 studios, the way it was presented to us, those of us who voted for it, it was presented as a big program that would have multiple recipients. And that was confirmed when I think the minority leader on the Senate actually brought that up, Algiers. We voted for a particular thing. It was changed after our vote and given sole source to 38 studios. And I can guarantee you, I know I wouldn't have voted for 38 studios, and I know the majority of my colleagues wouldn't have either.
Do you felt you were lied to?
I think there was something else going on. I don't know who was the cause, but I do believe that we weren't given all the information that was available at the time.
Real quickly here, you were a leader in the effort to decriminalize marijuana in Rhode Island. Do you think this is the year when the General Assembly will legalize marijuana and tax it like alcohol?
It could be. I think actually you'll probably have to have one more year. I worked with Josh Miller on the decrim bill, and it took us almost four years to get that through. Rhode Island has its own pace, and it's generally 3 to 4 years before something of that magnitude becomes law.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And State Rep. Jay Edwards, Democrat of Tiverton.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Scott.